You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. We're going to be diving into the Word of God again this morning. We're going to be in Mark chapter 9, and we will read some of the passage, and then we'll dive back into that in just a moment. But I want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete. Jits Concrete's been in Brevard County doing concrete work. I call them experts in all things concrete. They've got decades of expertise, got decades of experience, and they have a tremendous work ethic. They will come out, take a look at what you've got, hear what you want to have done. They know how to put a plan together with the right materials at the right time for a great value. If you've got a concrete project that you are looking to have done in 2026, this may be just the right time to do that. I always look for opportunities to do outside work when it's not the temperature of the sun out there. And I try and do that not just for when I'm out there doing something, but when I'm having someone else do it as well. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. The Anderson family's been part of Merritt Assembly of God for longer than I've been at Merritt Assembly of God, and dirt was practically new when I got there. So they've been around for a long, long time, and we want to thank them for all they've done, all the projects around the church and all the projects around the house. They have always done a great job for a great price. They may be just the resource you're looking for. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Let's go back to Mark chapter 9. We'll read verse 17 through 29, and then we will pick up around verse 22, 23 in there today. It says, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him, Jesus, and when he saw him, Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So he said to them, 'This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" So just a little bit of recap before we dive into today. The father has disclosed that this has been happening to his son from childhood. It had been going on for a long, long time. He describes that the intent of this unclean spirit, this demonic spirit, was to destroy his son. And as a father, anytime someone sets out to destroy something that is under our care and under our responsibility, we need to take action. And this father has done that. He brought him first to the disciples. Now he's in this conversation with Jesus. And he concludes with this question of Jesus: but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So a lot of times people in society, whenever they are faced with a problem, the immediate inclination is to question the abilities of God. And I just want to remind you, God is omnipotent. There is not a situation that you will face that he does not have the ability and the power and the authority to do whatever needs to be done. So the father's request has to do with doing. And he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Now, once again, compassion here is not just to feel sorry for or feel love towards. It isn't just an emotional condition. It is something that causes our spirit, our soul, our body to operate all with the same goal, and that is to see this young man delivered. There is a father's plea for the help to come, and the motive of that would be compassion. So let's just deal right up front and say, look, whatever you are going through today, God has the ability to bring you through that. The Bible talks about bringing through the fire and bringing through the flood. He can bring you through the Red Sea, or he can bring you through the wilderness. It is the challenge is of no match to the capabilities of God. Second, God is a God of compassion. It is his compassion that motivates everything that he does. He is 100% compassionate. He is also 100% righteous and 100% just. The request here is also for help. And a lot of times in our society, we train children to be independent, where they can function without help, where I believe the older we get, the more we realize we are better off with teams helping us, and definitely better off with God helping us. So there is this request from help. And Jesus immediately responds in verse number 23. And I will tell you this, that Matthew 17 states this same truth. One passage here in Mark states it as a positive, and in Matthew chapter 17, the same thought is framed in a negative perspective, and we'll show that because it's inserted at a different timeline. Here's what he says: if you can believe. So the father's statement was, but if you can do anything, and Jesus' response is, if you can believe. And down here at the bottom of my Bible, there's a footnote that says, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. So we need to realize what an important part faith plays in God's activity in our lives. And it has nothing to do with whether or not we are viewing our problem correctly, we've got to make sure that we focus on the fact that our problem is no match for God. God has given to each and every one of us the measure of faith that is necessary. It is our job to put that faith to work. I've got, through the years, I have accumulated a collection of tools. None of them are fancy. None of them are expensive. Some of them are generational tools. They came from family members, such as levels and things like that. There are other tools that I've accumulated and things that I have in case a plumbing situation goes bad or something like that, and I've got to step in and fix it. I've got a number of things like that that I have collected through the years. And here's my situation. Now, as I state this, there's going to be a lot of agreement out there and among guys, because there have been a number of times when I've gone through my garage and cleaned and organized and said, you know, I haven't used this in a long, long time. I'm just going to get rid of it. And then very next week, I'm having to go out and buy that exact same thing because I needed it. And so a lot of times we have a tool that God has gifted to us, and it's very essential. Faith is supposed to be our lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the day of Paul, in the early church, and in modern times, the just shall live by faith. It is supposed to be the way that we live. We walk by faith, not by sight. But having that tool and not utilizing it is of no use. And so Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So I want to, you know, start your Monday off today and just remind you that with God leading you, God walking with you, accompanying you, with God's word burning in your heart and God's ability operating in your life, and you walking according to the steps that have been ordered of you of the Lord, that whatever you're facing today is not too big for God. All things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. So, I've made this statement. I have the gift of stubborn. You'll hear me talk about this from time to time. It goes back generations in my family. But I try to use the gift of stubborn to live by faith, even in the face of challenges. I'm going to cling to the promise of God. So I'm still clinging to promises that we received decades and decades ago. If I continue to pray, continue to believe, and I don't see it in my lifetime, I'm still going to continue to believe that God was making all of those things going to be a reality, whether it was in my lifetime or not my lifetime, during my tenure or after my tenure. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I have my preference. I want to see those promises come to pass. And that one of those promises has to do with, you know, musicians and the type of worship atmosphere that we could create. And so I'm going to continue to believe, and I'm going to continue to worship the one who made the promise. So I want you to hear what Jesus said. Belief is not optional. Belief in what God can do is essential to see what victory we're looking for to come to pass. So, verse number 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I think this is one of the most honest statements that a father who's facing the realities this father was facing could make. First of all, he cries out, and there's no delay. The first word is Lord. He's making this statement with tears in his eyes. He is extremely motivated. I had a conversation with my superintendent one time, and I was sharing some things with him, and his statement shocked me. He said, "That is evident of your great love." And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, thank you for putting that in perspective for me. Cause I needed it to be, you know, it was not my finest hour. And, he positioned that and said, you know what, here's what's really going on. And this father is moved emotionally to acknowledge Jesus' lordship. I want you to see what happened in that moment. In that moment, the authority structure shifted from that demon having control and seeking to destroy his son. He now shifts kingdoms and acknowledges that Jesus is Lord, and he's moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the kingdom of destruction to the kingdom of deliverance. And he says, "I believe. I believe. But help my unbelief." And that's where it gets very transparent. There's faith. You know, I believe, but I've still got this problem that's right in front of me, and that problem mocks our theological persuasion that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is omnipotent. That problem mocks it, but I want to remind you, Goliath mocked David until David was victorious on the battlefield. That the army of Assyria mocked Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem until God intervened and not only spared Judah at that point in time, but later defeated the Assyrian army. And that defeat set them up for their decline in power in the region. I believe, but help my unbelief. You know what he had just asked? He had said, "Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And there, two verses later, the specific help he is asking for is help my unbelief to become belief. And that's what's getting ready to happen. It's exactly what's getting ready to happen. It's never a problem to tell God what God already knows. If you are acknowledging to him, there's areas that I'm strong in belief in, and there are other areas where my belief is not nearly as fortified. God can work in that situation. That's what he does here. Anytime that we put a situation and a circumstance under the jurisdiction of the lordship of Jesus Christ, good things are about to happen. Verse number 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it. Now, let me start off by saying this. I'll finish reading verse 25 here in a second. Jesus was never looking to create a spectacle what was happening here was that this demonic spirit had thrown this boy onto the ground, and all of a sudden there are people coming around to see what this disturbance is that is going on, and Jesus is not looking to create any sort of spectacle where a demonic spirit is seen as anything powerful or anything like that. He's looking to see God triumph in this situation. And so as people came running together, Jesus rebukes the spirit, stops the conversation, says, we're not going to have this spectacle going on. And I will tell you this, I think that we need to make it our goal not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to Jesus. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. That word unclean there says it means it is morally unclean. It is something that separates a person from God and society. That was what this unclean spirit had done. It was a morally unclean spirit. It was not a moral equivalent. It was like, well, you could be ungodly or you could be godly. They're both the same. No, that's not what this unclean spirit was seeking to separate this boy from society, was looking to separate the family from God, and was looking to separate this boy from life. And Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit. And he identifies him with two descriptive terms, a deaf and dumb spirit. And we've talked before that if a person has a problem with hearing, they will also have a problem with speaking. So if you, I have a pretty loud voice. I remember in seventh grade English class, our teacher had said, okay, no talking. And I happened to be on the front row because that's where my name always seemed to position me alphabetically. And I turned around and whispered something to the person behind me. And when I turned back around, there was my teacher eye to eye with me while I was sitting on the desk. And she said, you whisper very loudly. And I still remember, you know, it's like when she says no talking, she means no talking. And that was the end of that occurrence. But I have this voice that projects very loudly. So here I can be sitting here in the radio studio all by myself, and all of a sudden my watch will give me a loud noise alert, and at that point in time I realize, you know what, I'm talking louder than what I think I'm talking. So I have this audiograph that I can see where my vocal volume is. Sometimes I'm louder than I think because I don't hear as well as I used to from a physical standpoint. If we are not listening, it will cause us to not have a message. In a very real sense, the modern church in many denominations, they don't want to proclaim what the Word of God says. The Word of God conflicts with their belief system, and they want to elevate their belief system. So they've stopped listening to what God has to say, and they've started propagating a message that is, and there I just got a loud environment warning, so I guess I was getting a little excited there. Because they don't want to hear what God has to say, they lose the ability to speak an accurate representation of what the Word of God declares. I have seen people do theological gymnastics, contortionists, that twist the Word of God to make it sound like what they believe is actually biblical, when in reality is unbiblical. Jesus does not ask this deaf and dumb spirit. He does not hope this deaf and dumb spirit. He commands this spirit to come out of him and enter him no more. One of the things that I do whenever I'm praying for the sick is I pray not only that they will be healed, but I pray that it will, whatever it is affliction-wise that they're dealing with, that it won't return. Jesus commands. He is the authority. So what we see in this passage is it's not just compassion, it's compassion and faith. And it's not just compassion and faith, it is compassion, it is faith, and it is asking God to intervene. And it's not just those three things, it's also the authority of God. Now, here's what I want to close out the program with today. When God intervenes in your situation, don't go right back to the very thing that put you in that predicament in the first place. In other words, I pray that the Lord heals, and I believe that he does, but more than wanting to pray for healing, I want to pray that you and I would walk in health, that we would walk in we would experience the deliverance and the redemption of God, but we would also walk in the freedom that is available in Christ Jesus. So he says, come out of him and enter him no more. I pray today that it will be a once and for all, there will be such a transformative moment that your life would be an inhospitable place for ungodly activity. I pray that all of us would fall so much in love with Jesus that we'd say, we're going to create a situation of praise, an environment of praise where he comes and sets up his house, he sets up his throne, and he commands, and things take place. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.